Your subconscious mind controls 95% of your life, which is why conscious leadership truly does begin by addressing your subconscious mind. Join me and PsycheK expert Jenna Sophia for an insightful episode that will help you reclaim your power so you can step into a greater form of leadership. In this episode, you'll learn why you're perpetuating your own trauma, the truth behind ancestral trauma and patterning, two systems that can help you shift your conditioning, the power of curiosity, and the importance of perspective and perception to pivot your thoughts and change your life. Jenna has impacted thousands of people through her one-on-one sessions and distance life-changing transformations. She is known for helping people change the way they think and break self-sabotage in minutes so people can easily take action to reach their goals, whether that be in health, business, or in relationships. Jenna specializes in helping people overcome subconscious sabotaging beliefs, stress, and traumas in as little as one session. Jenna bridges science and spirituality into her work. With over 15 years of healing and a background in science, she's here to change the paradigm of how we look at our mind-body-spirit connection. After overcoming her own chronic health issues and returning to optimal health, she's here to assist those who are ready to take back their power and live the life they want to manifest. Today's episode is sponsored by How to Conquer Your Bullshit with CPR. This is my free training that is going to help you bring your message to the masses. Sign up today at rubyframon.com/CPR. Whether you're a loyal podcast listener or you're new to the podcast, please make sure you take a moment to download a few episodes, drop a rating and review on iTunes. And if you've done this, please take a screenshot and send it to me via DM on Instagram or on Twitter. My handle is at IamRuby. Now it is time to shift your subconscious patterns with Jenna Sophia. Welcome to today's Thought Leader, where I'm challenging you to rise up, speak up, and create a movement. I'm your host, Ruby Fremon, and I'm here as a catalyst for you, the new generation of thought leaders. I'm a kick-ass life coach, a bullshit detector, and courageous communicator. I'll show you how to gain visibility, build a cult following, and create impact while increasing your income. Join me every week as I dive into raw and real conversations that will help you amplify your presence, influence, and impact. It's time to unapologetically do what you're here to do and do it your way. So get ready, thought leaders, and let's make shit happen. Hey, thought leaders, I am back with another amazing, amazing guest. This woman and I really came into contact with each other just recently. And I absolutely love what she's doing in the world and how she's impacting the lives of so many people and helping to facilitate life-changing transformations. So I have a feeling that this is going to be another one of those conversations that dives really deep. So get ready because it's going to be really good. Jenna Sophia, welcome to today's Thought Leader. I'm so excited to have you here.
Thank you, Ruby. I'm so excited to be on your podcast.
What's funny, audience, thought leaders, is we're recording this in the middle of the retrogrades that are happening right now. Instagram is down, Facebook is down, and Zoom we thought was almost down. So this almost didn't happen, but we're here. Yes. And apparently Jenna is using the Wi-Fi from her TV to be here.
I didn't even know that was a thing, but yeah. I guess everything's programmed with Wi-Fi these days, so
right.
I guess it's not too far out, but yeah.
Okay, so where shall we begin? I want to begin with a line that you shared with me when we were on our connection call a few weeks ago, and I'm just going to read it.
Sure.
We're perpetuating our trauma. I thought it was so powerful when you said this, and I fully, fully agree with this, but I would love to hear from you how you feel we're doing this. How are we actually perpetuating our trauma? How are we making it worse? How are we cycling ourselves in it?
Yeah, well, as you know, we're creatures of habit and pattern, and we follow things that we perpetually do or think. So the reason why I believe we are perpetuating our traumas specifically, when things happen to us, the subconscious mind basically records every single thing that happens to us. And if we don't go and change our reactions to how certain situations have affected us, we're going to continue to show up with every single trauma that we've ever experienced. So that will be our normal default of showing up to the world. And right. until we remove that or transform the ways of thinking and being and really understanding how our life has happened and affected us, we're really not able to transcend these traumas if we don't have an idea of how they're showing up in our lives and how mm-hmm. we are acting from these spaces of limitation because of the things that have happened to us. So right. in order to move past that, we really have to look at the subconscious mind because it's 95% of our operating system. Mm-hmm. You know, the conscious mind is only 5%. So it's really difficult for us to change the way we think or change the way we feel if we don't change it from a subconscious level. And so we're constantly showing up and perpetuating these traumas and showing up as that because most of us haven't gone and done the deep work into really checking into our subconscious and seeing what is actually there and what is perpetuating my behavior and the way that I'm showing up.
Right. And what's interesting is this idea of checking in with our subconscious, right? Because like you said, our subconscious mind is 95% of what drives us. And yet so many people believe it's like what we're consciously doing. And so there's all these things that we're doing that are on autopilot, right? Like sure. we don't have to think about how to brush our teeth. We just know how to brush our teeth. Or we don't have to think about how to eat. We just know how to eat. We know how to chew yeah. our food. You know, we know how to do a lot of things. And yet so many people are failing to see the ways in which they are actually showing up and the beliefs that they are continuing to believe, mm-hmm. which are really driving their actions. And specifically, I want this conversation to be specific to the leaders because this is what my podcast is who my podcast is for the leaders. We have so many leaders out there that are doing the work to be mm-hmm. a leader, to be perceived as a leader, and yet I think they're missing the work, the inner work, to actually start leading their life. Because
yes.
if we're constantly being led by our subconscious and it's leading us in a direction that we don't want to go in, then we are in fact misleading our lives, right?
100%. I totally agree with that. And I think you made a great point there is that if we're trying to lead and we're trying to show up as some sort of thought leader or someone that's trying to create change or, you know, change the consciousness of our planet and really shift into a higher vibration for us to really get closer to who we are and embody our power more. If we're not figuring out our limitations that are present in the subconscious, that's where it all starts, right? So mm-hmm. if we're not reaching our goals, we have to check into our subconscious and figure out why do those limitations exist? Where did they come from and why are they there? Mm-hmm. But the good news is that we can also shift it. We don't have to stay there. And that's the great part of our evolutionary journey is being able to shift our perceptions of our experiences so that we're not privy to every horrible experience that we've ever gone through or every limiting belief that we've picked up as a sponge between 0 and 7. Because between 0 and 7, we're in this theta state in our brain. And so we're just absorbing everything. And right. then that basically conditions us to how we show up later on in life. Right. So if 97% of the conditioning happens between 0 and 7, it actually even goes back even further in the third trimester when you're in the womb. Wow. So you're just constantly absorbing all of this information without a filter. And then once we, you know, pass that age, all of a sudden we have these lenses of reality and it's really everything that we've picked up, all the beliefs, all of the different energies, all the traumas that we might have experienced growing up. And then that's who we're showing up as. So you're basically showing up as your 7-year-old self, you know, mm-hmm. all those things that you've picked up. Do you believe in yourself? Do you think you can do it? Are you worthy of like impacting people's lives? Do you have what it takes? All of these things have been molded from a young age if you haven't transformed them. So if you're wondering why you're not able to make an impact or why you're not able to reach the people you want to reach or speak on the stages you want to speak on, there's probably something going on that's limiting you subconsciously from really going out and doing that.
Right. And okay, so third trimester. We're going back a long time in our trial timeline.
Yes.
I just want to address that because I know for some of our listeners, they're going to be like, wait, what?
Yeah. Yeah. Fair enough.
Can we address that first before we go any further?
Totally. So like science has shown that we actually have emotional intelligence and emotional responses while we're in the womb. So they actually did this. I watched a really cool video where they had this couple fighting in Italian. Okay. And the baby wasn't in, it was in the stomach that the mother didn't speak Italian. That wasn't her language, right. The baby could pick up on the vibrations and the intensity of the fighting from hearing this couple as a science experiment, and the baby dropped. So it had a stress response in the womb.
Wow.
So if we're already being stressed out from before we come out of here, or maybe, you know, here's another example, you know, maybe your mom lost her mother while you're in the womb, you're going to download all of that grief and you're going to lead your life now with this heaviness and this density, not knowing where it's come from. But it's being absorbed from your environment. So you're constantly absorbing everything in your environment, and then that's dictating to you the perception of what you see. So if you don't like what you're seeing, you have to change the lens and the filter in which you're looking at life. Right. So the third trimester thing, that just goes to show how powerful and it is to mold the subconscious from a very young age.
Right.
And it just is what it is. But the beauty is that we can also go in and reprogram it so that we're not operating from those experiences that we've just absorbed.
Right. So is this similar to, because we hear a lot about ancestral wounding and ancestral trauma. Like this is kind of like a hot topic in the space of personal development, spiritual development right now. So is that very much the same as what you're addressing? I think it's easy to say, oh, you're in the womb and you're absorbing your mother's energy. And it's one thing to like actually prove that this is happening. And then we take it to this whole other level when we have the ancestral wounding coming into play, because that's like a timeline. That's like, oh my God, you might be carrying like your great grandfather's wounding or your great great aunt's like trauma. And I know that even for me, there's been sticky things that I'm like, this doesn't feel like my shit. Like this doesn't feel like my shit. I don't remember having any experiences that could have triggered this. Maybe it's ancestral, but I'm so keen on learning more about how does that actually work?
Sure. Well, the way that we understand, you know, the subconscious or life in general and the way that we look at things is that we're very linear in our thinking, right?
Yes,
but if we look at ourselves as quantum beings and seeing that there is no time, right? We're just an endless, infinite, soul going through an experience at different times, quote unquote, right? But the fact is that from a subconscious perspective, because the subconscious is 24/7, you know, from that linear perspective, it never turns off. It's always recording. We're taking our experiences from every incarnation, if you want to look at it like that. We are carrying all of these traumas in our soul, which we are then using, you know, this physical form to work through so that we can ascend to higher evolution in terms of our growth on this planet. But ancestral trauma and patternings also take place when through the programming that's around us, right? So like you said, I feel like this isn't my shit. Well, it's because the programming that you've had growing up is solidifying to you. It's all about how your parents or the people who raised you look at life. That either becomes the way you look at life or you look at life completely opposite. It's radical to that. But it's through those filters and through that contrast of either saying, okay, this is the correct way to do and be these things, and then as you're finding that maybe this isn't authentic to me, you're realizing that you're picking up the ancestral traumas and the patternings of people who came before you.
Right.
And until you distinguish that and say, wait, this is not actually authentic to me, this isn't true to my soul's, you know, expression, that's when we say, okay, there's ancestral patterning here. I want to break this cycle and really change the trajectory of what my future generation is going to be and behave as. Does that make a little bit more sense?
So we can like pick up this ancestral wounding and trauma from, you know, maybe it's like from my great grandmother. I can pick it up from my mother who picked it up from her mother who picked it up from her mother. Right.
Yeah.
And so for where we're at now in our timeline, say we're in a place where we are aware, you know, mm-hmm. we're aware that there's some patterns happening. We hear people talking about limiting beliefs all the time and programming all the time and patterns all the time. And yet it can often feel like a tougher situation when you're in it to actually start to repattern and develop a new way of approaching your life and your choices and your decisions. Mm-hmm. So let's say someone's listening, they're aware. They're aware mm-hmm. of a pattern that they continue to replay. Now what?
Yeah, so that's where the tools come in, right? Mm-hmm. And that's where we do the searching in terms of, okay, well, I have the awareness that I am behaving this way, and I see that I have limiting behaviors or sabotaging behaviors that aren't allowing me to live out my full expression and mission and purpose. So what do I do? Well, there, from what I've learned, there have been two really powerful systems that I call mm-hmm. where we're able to actually use tools to go ahead and reprogram the subconscious. So mm-hmm. I'm going to speak about two of them now. So the first one is Psych-K, and Psych-K is a quick and easy way to access the subconscious mind in a conscious state. So it's not like hypnotism. Mm-hmm. And through muscle testing, we're able to tap into the subconscious mind and see what limitations we have. And what traumas we have, and if we're actually whole brain with what we're experiencing. Mm-hmm. So when I say whole brain, you know, there's this idea that we have a left side, left hemisphere, right. and right hemisphere, right? And they both govern different aspects. So the left side is logical, and we're able to see things in the logical sense, whereas the right brain is more creative and free and expansive. But it's very necessary for us to process information and process the way we look at life through both of them. Mm-hmm. So by being whole brain, we're activating more of our brain capacity. So we're basically turning on our brain so that when we look at things, we're able to see it for the reality of what it is, rather than feeling like it's limiting us or it's sabotaging us or it's holding us back. So being able to get into that state and change beliefs that way, because we're really able to integrate those beliefs from that whole brain state. So imagine you were thinking, I'm not worthy, I'm not worthy, I don't feel worthy. Mm-hmm. By being able to create this whole brain state with mm-hmm. that statement of I am worthy, you're able to transform that limiting belief into an empowering belief of I am worthy and embody that through a whole brain state. So that's what Psych-K really is. There's also something called emotion code and body code. Mm-hmm. And this is, you know, because we were talking about ancestral patternings, I think this would be a really good thing for the listeners to check out. It's ways to identify trapped emotions that are in the body and also ancestral trapped emotions. So these could be coming through your ancestral line from 30, 40 generations back of like heartache and anger, and even self-sabotaging behavior can be ancestral, right? Right. You know, our ancestors, I mean, my family came from, you know, this line of diaspora and like displacement from Africa to, you know, the West. And there's a lot of, you know, discomfort around change or around trying new things and doing things outside of the box or outside of the matrix way of like looking at how I should behave as an adult and you know, and the work that I do. But until you make that decision that you're going to shift that trajectory, whether it's mm-hmm. with these tools or through other modalities that you've discovered, you have to realize that you're in charge of changing that that pattern and shifting that. It's not on your family, and it's not to be victimized or play a victim to these conditions that you've been born into, but mm-hmm. for you to really reclaim yourself and become an autonomous energy being and a leader, and realizing doesn't matter if it came from me or it came from someone else. I mm-hmm. recognize that it's there, and it's my responsibility to change that if right. I want to show up as the person I want to show up for in the world.
Right. And that's the piece I think a lot of people fail to dive into, is the mm-hmm. reclamation of like who they truly are. I think it's really easy to play the victim, especially when mm-hmm. that in itself is the default. Like that in itself is where your unconscious mind is guiding you to be, is in this victim mentality. So it's really easy to find ourselves there and also to like stay there because it's comfortable. Mm-hmm. What's tough is like the reclamation. It's like actually reclaiming your power. It's actually understanding that you are in charge.
Yeah.
Like that's the tough piece. That's the piece that I think a lot of people struggle with. And what's interesting to me is, because I've done this work a long time and I've worked with hundreds of clients, and no matter how high people rise, like no matter how much you've accomplished in your life, no matter how much you've improved your life, we still fall into this space of like, we can still fall into the space of becoming a victim.
100%.
To the self-perceived limitations. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. And like, it's much easier to like blame someone rather than to take responsibility, because it can be daunting to take responsibility. It's like, shit, I'm really here on my own island. Like if I want to get somewhere, I have to, you know, find a way to get there on my own. Like no one's going to save me here. And that can be empowering. And it also can be scary if you're not understanding that there's so much growth to be made. And there's so much journey left to experience, that we shouldn't look at it and be scared. We should be like, hell yeah, like this is amazing. I understand that this is the case, and I know that there are tools that can help me get there and remove these limitations. So I think that's really important.
Yeah. And it's, yes, let's be a hell yeah to like the growth and the change. What I have encountered with a lot of people that I've worked with or spoken to who are in this space is like, oh, I've been doing this work for so long. I've been giving it everything. Like, I'm so committed to my personal growth. I've done X, Y, and Z. And I'm just tired. Like, I don't know why this keeps coming up. And it's like they instantly switch back into victim mentality despite everything that they've already overcome and everything that they've already changed. And it's like they can still fall back into that victim mentality, or they can still allow their traumas to come up. So does that, in your opinion, mean that they haven't actually worked through their shit?
I think on some level, yes. I think what happens is that there's only so much pressure that the subconscious mind can take before it breaks. And when I mean break, it's not like falling apart, but in terms of like, it's showing us that our shadow is so there and so prevalent. And if we don't, you know, work on it or work through whatever the limitation is that's coming up that's making us feel like we have to victimize ourselves, then we're going to stay back. The idea is that the work is never done. Like, you're going to constantly need to work on yourself and work with yourself subconsciously. Otherwise, if you think that there's just some pill or there's some magic thing that's just going to fix you and all of a sudden you're going to be this, like, you know, leader of the world and, you know, everyone's going to love you, it's like, well, you have to really look at yourself really hard and see, well, where am I limiting myself? And then you'll see that it's a journey, because as you become more powerful and more in your self-worth and more in your leadership, you'll find that there'll be other problems that you didn't see when you were maybe who you were or what you were doing 5 months ago. And it's not to say that you're going back, but it's that the work is always happening. It always needs to be attended to, because we are constantly evolving. So there's always work to be done, right? I mean, you can do a lot of work, and then maybe you've reached a new normal where you're not sinking as much and you're swimming more, but that doesn't mean you're not going to sink in some way again. Maybe you just won't sink as far as you used to, because you've done the work to create a new normal, right?
Right. So is the purpose of this type of work, again, in your opinion, to get to a certain place where it's like, okay, now the work's not needed, or it's to get to a place where you're not sinking anymore, now you're learning how to swim, now you're learning how to navigate better or get through it in a quicker way?
Yeah, I definitely think that the more work that you do, it's supposed to get you to, or at least the, you know, the modalities that I mentioned, is that it's getting you, first of all, it's ripping off all those layers of programming that have perpetuated the story you're telling yourself. So whether that's a positive story or a negative story, right? If it's a negative story, then it's probably limiting programming in some way that is preventing you from really seeing your true expression of your potential, right? So the more you're able to really, you know, work on yourself subconsciously and really remove those perceptions that are limiting you, you'll get to a new place of understanding who you are in a more authentic way. So for example, I'll give this an example. Maybe, you know, you have clients and you're working with clients and you had a really, really tough client, right? Maybe 6 months ago when you were experiencing this, you would have stayed in a rut for like a week. You would have let that one client who had, you know, not the best feedback to give you and had something negative to say and that was kind of like bumming you out, you might stay with that, right? But if you're able to have the mental strength and the mental resilience through doing this work, you'll look at that and you'll say, hey, this is teaching me something. I don't like how I feel, but what is it about this that I don't like how I feel? What is it showing me? You know? So you're able to reframe the experiences that happen for you, not to you, for you. And you're able to grow from them. So you see things from a state of growth rather than a state of feeling victimized. Right. And with that mindset shift, that is so crucial in terms of leadership, because if you're not able to snap out of things quickly, or you're not able to see perspective, I feel like perspective is everything, because if you don't have it, you don't have anything, right? Because at the end of the day, it's you perceiving life, nothing else, right? So it's up to you to decide what lens of perception am I looking at the situation. Someone could look at one situation and say, that was horrible. I can't believe that happened to me. I'm bankrupt. What am I going to do? Another person could say, wow, you know, I could have been more responsible, but you know what? I'm, you know, so many rockets of desires are shooting out for me and I'm creating all this potential of this new chapter that I'm jumping into now.
Right.
And I'm so grateful for this learning. So perspective, perception is everything in that way,
always like another way of looking at something and another way of interpreting something if we're open to it, if we're open to finding or uncovering what that is. There's something that you said within all of that, which is the, you know, well, I don't like how this feels and I'm going to continue doing this work. I think that there's a misconception in that if I do enough work, like this is just going to feel good. And I think that that's total bullshit, because even where I'm at with my growth and my devotion to my spiritual and mental and physical and emotional healing is that it's never really gotten to a point where it feels better. But I've gotten to a point where I can better navigate through it. You know, it's like being put into an ocean filled with sharks. Like the first time you're in there, like it doesn't feel good no matter what. Yeah. You're going to be surrounded by sharks. Like it just doesn't feel good. And maybe the first time I get thrown in, I don't know how to swim, but like being thrown in over and over again, I know how to swim. So I can now swim through the sharks, but the sharks still terrify the shit out of me and make me feel really bad. You know what I mean? And I think in personal development, there's a big misconception that eventually we're going to get to a state where everything just feels good and everything's just love and light. And I don't know, that hasn't been the case for me.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely agree. There are some people in some perceptions where they think, you know, it's love and light and I've reached this state, and, you know, more power to them. If they really believe authentically that they've reached that state, then good for you. I mean, at the end of the day, we all just want to feel good, right? No matter what.
Ultimately.
We want to feel good. So whether people are saying that they feel good all the time or feeling good some of the time, like it doesn't matter. I think what's most important is that it's not about love and light necessarily, but it's the fact that you're able to choose the reactions that you have to what life gives you. So for example, you were saying the first time you did it, it was super scary jumping in with sharks, but now that you're used to it, you've acclimated to those waters and the same situation or scenario is happening, but you're reacting differently, right? So it's really your power lies in your reaction and your decision to say that this is what something is or this is what something isn't. And you know, even without tools, if you're able to shift your mindset and say, okay, this is a perspective that I'm looking at the situation and it's creating limitation for me. It's not making me feel good. I'm feeling small or there's something that's preventing me from really feeling good in this situation. Mm-hmm. But then figure out, is there a way for you to pivot that thought? Is there one thing you can be grateful for in that moment of whatever is happening that will at least shift a little bit? It's not about making a huge jump from like jealousy to like appreciation, right? But it's shifting and seeing, okay, there's contrast here. There's something that is coming up for me that I obviously have an issue with. And instead of looking at it like it's the worst thing in the world or this is against me, maybe looking at it and seeing, okay, what is it trying to teach me? Or what can I learn from this? Or is this something that I'm continuing to perpetuate that's, you know, in my vibration that's allowing this to be co-created with whatever is happening?
Right. It's like, what I'm hearing is like really getting curious, in regards to why you're reacting the way you're reacting versus letting yourself be driven by your reaction.
100%. And curiosity, do you know, when between the ages of 0 and 7, we're in a constant state of curiosity. And do you know what curiosity shows up as in your brain? It creates a whole brain state. So when we're curious, we're actually using more of our brain capacity. So imagine when you're judging, do you feel like you're using any of your brain capacity to really look at the situation realistically? No. Because you're like, I'm like, this is what it fucking is. I hate it. I can't even believe this is happening to me. Right. Why me? All of this bullshit. And then you realize when you become curious about it, you're able to get perspective that you might have not had before. But just out of that state of curiosity, so much more understanding and so much more potential of what this is, you know, signifying or representing, it completely shifts.
Right.
In that state of curiosity. Yeah,
that's so interesting. So curiosity helps us drop into that whole brain state, which then allows us to look at things from like a better perspective, from a more
grounded perspective.
Yeah. Interesting. What are some other ways for us to get ourselves into that whole brain state?
Yeah, well, in terms of, you know, whole brain state activity and things like that, there are different movements, you know, that you can use. I mean, in terms of like inducing this whole brain state, but something that would be so practical for everyone listening that everyone can do is just to try to look at life with a little more curiosity than what you're experiencing right now. And if you were maybe to decide, today I'm going to be curious about everything that happens, right? You will see that your stress response and the level and the amount of energy that goes into worrying about bullshit or worrying about what's going to happen in the future or what happened in the past. Right. With curiosity, it keeps us in the present. And when we're in the present, we're in a whole brain state. That's all. If you can do that, it'll change the game for what you're doing now. Because instead of looking at things that happened to you and looking at your limitations and you know, really negatively talking to yourself or like, you know, getting yourself down and be like, oh, I'm so stupid. Like, why me? Why did I make that decision? That was so dumb. That is not curiosity. How about looking at it and saying, okay, you know, I made a perceived mistake, right? Or maybe it's just part of my journey. It's not even a mistake. This is what I was supposed to learn, and I'm learning something. And I would never have learned that if I didn't go through this experience. And how do I not know that this is actually saving my ass for something that would have been 10 times worse if I hadn't dealt with this now? So that whole, you know, the more you're able to shift your perception into a higher perspective, nothing seems as scary as it does, as it did before.
Right. So really it's like anytime we find ourselves in that state of perceiving something in a way that doesn't feel good, like to do something to shift our perspective, to look at it differently, which is, I think sometimes easier said than done because when we're in it, right? When you're actually in it, when you're, say you're in that moment where you're feeling shitty about yourself, like why me? I'm so stupid. Like, how could I have fucked this up? Like how come my post didn't get enough likes? No, I'm not worthy. My message isn't worthy, whatever. Like you spiral out of control. It's in those moments, I feel like are the hardest moments to gain back control and shift perspective. So 100%. Do you have any advice for those moments? I call them like when we're spiraling.
Yeah.
So like, do you have advice for when we're spiraling?
Yeah. I think, you know, let's just talk about spiraling first, okay. Right? Like, why do we spiral, right? Because obviously, if you feel like you're consistently spiraling, or you're allowing yourself to lower your vibration because you're being hard on yourself, or you're looking at life and you're just aggravated or frustrated with how it is, then you're not really being true to the leader you are. Because a leader wouldn't look at that and say, I'm going to sit here in this energy and allow this to perpetuate itself. No, a true leader would say, fuck this. I'm not allowing myself to look at this situation. Yes, it's difficult, but you know what? Being a leader isn't the easiest thing in the world. That's why not everyone is a leader.
Right.
I believe everyone is a leader in their own way, but I mean, I'm talking about true leaders who want to be seen and who want to impact, you know, millions of people or thousands of people or whatever your impact is that you're trying to make. You really have to snap out of it and get a little perspective and say, what am I doing this for? Where is this drive coming from that is making me look at myself like I'm less than, or that I'm unworthy, or that I am even choosing, right? It's a conscious choice to choose to spiral out of control with our thoughts, because at the end of the day, we're in control of our thoughts, you know, and we're in control of the thoughts that we pick up around us. So if we're constantly, you know, looking for validation outside of ourselves, or like, you know, watching the news or looking at Instagram and saying, oh my God, there's so much I need to be fixed, or that I'm not good as I am. Mm-hmm. And you're looking for validation to prove those things to you, you're probably going to spiral more than most.
Right.
But if you try to shut down the noise and you quiet all of that external perceptions of what you think people are going to perceive of you, or how you're going to be seen, or all of these things, and become gentle with yourself, you can say, okay, there's still work that needs to be done. That's okay. I'm going to be gentle with myself. But what can I do to shift myself out of what I'm feeling now? What is the smallest thing I can do that will allow myself to feel just a little bit better? And it's all about making those incremental steps. It's not a big leap. The idea is not to have a big leap, but it's the idea if that we're trying to get ourselves out of something, we have to really look at it and see, what is the next best thing I can change my thought to get out of this, so that you can then spiral upwards and create a different vortex of momentum into higher consciousness, rather than trying to go get back to that density that's really your shadow holding you back.
Right.
You know? When we spiral, it's like we're kind of self-sabotaging ourselves, because we're on the one hand, we want to be showing up and we want to be doing these amazing things. But if we are choosing to use our energy to spiral out of control and to spiral into these like depths of darkness, then we're not using and cultivating our energy like a leader should.
Yeah. And to our listeners, Jenna just said something super important: choosing to spiral. Because I think it's really easy when you're spiraling to feel like you've just been sucked into like some sort of storm or quicksand or like something. You've just been sucked in, but it's like, no, there's a choice that's being made. And it's not conscious, because you're not aware of it. It's unconscious, but there is a choice that's being made. And so there's a pattern that you're playing into. And this is a prime example of how you perpetuate your trauma.
And how much the subconscious actually has power over the actions that you take. I mean, if, for example, when I say choosing to spiral, it's maybe you're not consciously choosing to spiral, because no one sits there and is like, I'm going to start feeling like shit. I'm going to talk to myself so horribly. You know, no one like premeditates that, but it's the fact that this is our default subconscious blueprint. If we don't change that and we don't pivot out of that unworthiness, or pivot out of that lack or limitation, then every time something happens to us, it will trigger that response. And that's exactly what will happen. We'll spiral.
Right. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
If you can train yourself, you know, to do the opposite, you've reclaimed so much of your power.
Right. It's like the awareness and then the training. You know, let's make it super simple so everyone understands. It's like, say you've been taught to brush your teeth, but you've been taught to brush your teeth in a really abrasive way that's actually like ruining your gums. Okay. Yep. So you've been taught to brush your teeth. You've been doing this for decades, you know, and you've been doing it this way for decades. And your dentist is like, you're not doing something right. Like, your gums are receding, or your teeth are being damaged, whatever it is. You're going to keep brushing your teeth that way unless you train yourself to brush your teeth a different way.
That's an awesome example.
I just thought of that. I don't know why.
subconsciously. No, I think that's
maybe it's because my dentist emailed me today. I don't know.
See, there's always like stuff for us to pull from that happens to us, and we're just like, oh, maybe right. That would be good.
But it's when you put it in that way, like if you're taught to do something,
yeah,
and it's not, or you've picked it up somewhere in your timeline, sure. And it's not leading you towards what you want. In fact, it might be deterring you from moving in the direction that you want to move in. Mm-hmm. You're going to continue not moving in the direction you want to move in until you train yourself to do that thing differently. And so exactly. It's the same thing with our thoughts. And that's what Jenna's pointing out to you right now, listeners, is she's pointing out that once you have that awareness, it's now then up to you to change that mm-hmm. process. And it's not about like going from feeling completely depressed to like completely elated in a second. It's about these incremental actionable items that you do to start to move in an opposite direction up the vortex and into a better state.
Mm-hmm. I think, yeah, that exactly sums it all up, is that your state really depends on the reactions that you choose to make.
Right.
Yeah. So your state, you can have, you know, things can happen to you in your environment and that can mold. Well, it does mold who mm-hmm. you are. I mean, the science of epigenetics shows that, you know, this whole genetic model of like, we are like this because of our parents, or mm-hmm. like, you know, if our parents have heart disease, then we're going to have heart disease. And they're finding that's not actually the case, and that we're actually molded by our environment. Mm-hmm. And our environment is the way we perceive what is going on around us.
Right.
So if we change those perceptions or those filters, we completely can look at the same environment in a completely different way.
Yeah.
Therefore shifting the way that we look at our lives and who we are.
Love it. Yeah. Love mm-hmm. it. Jenna, we're nearing the end of the episode. Do you have any final thoughts that you want to share with our listeners?
Yeah, I would like to say that, you know, the inner work, it's not easy, but it's not impossible, right? Like, and I think that if we're going, or if you're choosing to be a conscious leader, it takes more work than just being a regular leader, if that makes sense, because you're leading with your consciousness, and your consciousness is dependent on how much perspective you can have for whatever you're looking at. Because the more perspective you have, the more ability you have to actually see things for what they are. So instead of just looking at it or trying to see things through your filter, mm-hmm. gaining perspective, you can see how things are happening for, you know, the larger scale at large, and see how whatever you can do and impact people, you'll have that higher perspective to lead you to make even more of an impact. Mm-hmm. So it's not about being small-minded in your thinking, but really pushing yourself to see the larger picture and see the larger askings and the larger needs of whoever you're serving.
Right.
By taking yourself out of it and realizing that there are other ways to look at the same thing that you're looking at currently.
Yeah, definitely. Powerful. Thank you so much, Jenna, for bringing your presence and your wisdom to the podcast. I truly appreciate what you shared, and I know that our listeners are for sure going to gain some powerful insights that will help them begin to take back control of their lives and start shifting their patterning to move in a direction that they truly want to move in. So thank you so much. Why don't you tell our audience how they can stalk you online? And I'll also have these links in the show notes.
Sure. So if retrograde isn't a problem, you'll be able to find me. My website is beyondthebelief.com, and my Instagram is _JennaSophia. So you can check me out on both of those platforms. And if you're interested in scheduling a session to really dive deep into your subconscious programming and make a lot of accelerated change in a short period of time, you're more than welcome to check out one-on-one sessions, or if you're interested in working with me more in depth, I have a 4-week program where we really dive deep into seeing what is really stopping you from achieving what you are, your goals.
Love it. Awesome. So I'm going to have those notes, those links in the show notes for you. Jenna, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Ruby. I appreciate you too.
And to our listeners, thank you for joining me and Jenna on today's Thought Leader, where we are challenging you to rise up, speak up, and create a movement. If you dig this episode between us, please share it with a friend and don't forget to hit subscribe. And while you're there, download a few more episodes and drop a rating and review. If you have any questions for either myself or for Jenna, please reach out to us on social media and just ask your questions. Also, we'd love to hear what insights you have from this episode. So please do reach out. And Jenna, again, you're such a gem. I think that the work that you're doing is truly transformational. And I'm just so excited to have been able to share you and your work with today's thought leader today. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay. I will see you all back here on Thursday for a brand new episode of today's Thought Leader.